steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, all the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday, August 19th, 2026. It is literally one of my biggest pet peeves, and I know that you all know because I bring it up frequently. Quite honestly, I bring this situation up more frequently than I need to. I really can't stand when people just disregard their garbage and their trash anywhere, on the street, in someone's yard. Just no respect whatsoever for somebody else's property. No respect for keeping where you live clean. It's horrible, and it says a lot about that person. But also, I can tell a lot about a person by how they feel about what some may think is a situation that's trivial. Oh, they just threw a wrapper out of the car window. Oh, what's the big deal? The window, just blow it away. For some reason, every piece of trash that has ever been thrown out of any window of any car or anything that's ever been thrown on the ground ends up in my yard. I don't know how it happens, but if anything ever gets thrown outside on the ground in the city of Milwaukee, it ends up in my yard. It ends up against my back fence, and it's horrible. It's horrible. So whenever I see garbage in front of my yard, I always pick it up, and I'm very angry when I have to do that because I'm thinking to myself, somebody could have just put this in the garbage. Sometimes garbage carts, you guys have those neighbors where they don't really know when garbage day is. They just leave their garbage carts just out every single day of the week. And if I see garbage, of course, I'll put trash in, even in my neighbor's yard, because that makes the block look ugly. And I'm fortunate in that I live on a block where it's majority homeowners. We have a few renters, but they're mostly decent folks because they've been long-term renters. But man, oh man, it just infuriates me when people do that. And every spring, we have these neighborhood cleanups. You guys are probably familiar with the one that we had here at 101.7 The Truth for many, many years, sponsored by Tory Lowe. I wonder if Tory Lowe is going to continue his neighborhood cleanups. I know that they probably should continue, and he took great pride in those. And I guess from his perspective, it's a community-building exercise. It brings people together because his cleanups are actually pretty diverse. There's a lot of our colleagues and coworkers here when we were with Good Karma Brands, and they'd come out and do their part. It was always embarrassing for me because a lot of times the cleanups, and you all would specify where you would want the Tory Lowe cleanup to take place. Like, we had a website, and you could select or enter in an address, or maybe there's a vacant lot, or maybe there's a particular school. I think one year they cleaned up a church parking lot. Baffling to me, because I think, wouldn't the parishioners want to keep their house of worship clean? But however, I digress. I was embarrassed because a lot of our colleagues and coworkers, I think they would view participating in the Tory Lowe cleanup, at least this is how I thought they viewed it, is like, oh, I'm going to do my part and help these blacks that can't even pick up garbage in front of their own houses. I took it as such. No one ever said that. No one was ever explicit in saying something that egregious, but it just felt that way. Like, they played their role. They did their part. You know, you can't ever call them racist. Sure, when I'm not racist, I picked up garbage in a black people neighborhood. It just felt that way. Also because I have never been asked to participate in or even seen, and I'm not saying that they don't exist. I have never been requested to clean up garbage in Brookfield or Franklin or Oak Creek or River Hills. We're having a River Hills neighborhood cleanup because, you know, all this garbage out here in River Hills that tends to pile up after the winter snow melt. I've never seen it, but there's something about us. And I also could say, all right, it's more densely populated in the city of Milwaukee. There's more people. And obviously, if one out of 1,000 people litter, that's still 600 people throwing garbage on the ground. But one out of 1,000 is actually a very low number, but it seems to be concentrated in particular neighborhoods, and it oftentimes seems to be the neighborhoods that are, let me just say, of color. So it's very frustrating to me because it's very, very preventable. But I also think that if you get to know a person, that you're talking to them or whatever, and maybe you hang out with them socially, like you go and do things with this person, you don't really know them until you go to their house and see how they live. And what I have found is that some people live in total squalor. Have you ever gone to somebody's house and you just don't even want to sit down? Now, I'm not naming names. Xavier says, yes, he's seen people that live like that. We all do. And the part that always gets me, I'm going to make a much larger point today, and I am going to talk about the festival that took place at Brown Deer Park where they left. It was a black festival, and they left it an absolute mess. Like, all of the trash, all of the food, all of the cups and containers from what was supposed to be, and for all intents and purposes, it was a safe and fun event, but they left their garbage all over Brown Deer Park. This was an event that they planned starting back in the wintertime, and it just took place, I believe it was last weekend. And there's a news story on how much garbage was left, and they had 6 or 7 different event organizers. I guess it's a pretty big event that they have annually at Brown Deer Park, but the story is about, like, they didn't pick up any garbage. I'm going to quote the story in a little bit. One of the event organizers said, well, by the time the festival ended, it got dark and we couldn't see the garbage anymore. So essentially, we just left it there. So then a number of volunteers had to come and pick up the garbage from Brown Deer Park. And one of the volunteers was just giving their account of just how disgusting it was. Like, they found soiled underwear. Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. And I'm thinking to myself, isn't this very similar to the garbage that we see just throughout the city of Milwaukee? And I'd like to believe that if you go somewhere else, and I don't know if these people live in Brown Deer now. I'm assuming that some of them do. Maybe some of them don't. But if you live in a place where it's routine for garbage to be thrown on the ground, and maybe you participate in it because you might be thinking to yourself, well, everybody else throws trash on the ground. I think I'm going to do the exact same thing. But if you're going somewhere else, if you're going to a public space, if you're going to a green space, if you're going to a park, and Brown Deer Park is beautiful. In fact, they've got one of those PGA golf courses, in fact. So I got a soft spot for Brown Deer Park. I grew up at that park. I played at that park. When I built my model rockets, me and my dad would go launch my model rockets at Brown Deer Park. I would hang out with my friends at Brown Deer Park. In fact, Tiger Woods turned pro at Brown Deer Park. Tiger was 21, I was 22 years old, and that's when I saw myself as potentially being a black golfer. I assure you, at the age of 51, I am not a black golfer. I'm not a golfer of any race. I get worse. The more I golf, it's the hardest sport I've ever played my entire life. And I end up losing a lot of my golf clubs. Also because I golf with people who are reckless. But it is what it is. So when I saw this story of all this trash that was left behind at Brown Deer Park, obviously I got offended. Dare I say I got triggered? Because it makes me so angry. Like, there's zero pride. None. If I'm having an event in a park that's used by everybody. You know, we pay a lot of money to maintain these parks now. A lot of the property tax money got to maintain the parks. We got to spend extra money to keep the damn parks clean. This is horrible. This is embarrassing. As an event organizer, I would go back the next day to make sure the place that I reserved, the permit that I got to have my event, was spotless. In fact, I would leave it just like I found it. But there's also something deeper about the psychology of people. And a moment ago, I was just talking about people who live in complete squalor. What confuses me with those folks is they'll invite you to their house. Maybe it's for the first time. Let's assume that it is. And they don't clean up anything. I'm not OCD clean, but my house is picked up because I never know who may stop by. And I make sure I keep garbage out of my yard because I get, you know, Amazon drivers will come. And some of my biggest listeners, shout out to the people that drive for a living. Like, those are some of my biggest listeners. In fact, I took an Uber home Monday night. And the guy that picked me up, I get in the vehicle, he had 101.7 tuned to his radio. He knew who I was. Kind of embarrassing for me, but, you know, it's cool. So I make sure that my yard doesn't have garbage in it, because the last thing I want is somebody's making a delivery to Sherwin Hughes' house and I got Frito-Lay bags on my yard. It just, that kind of stuff bothers me. So I make sure I keep my yard clean. It doesn't mean I'm happy about having to go pick up somebody else's soda cans and beer bottles and little half pints of Seagram's gin, but I do it just to give the appearance that I try to keep my yard a little bit clean, because, you know, people will talk about you. They got a fascination with talking about me, boy. I've been called everything you could imagine. A Republican. A liberal. Not often a liberal. I've been called gay. That happens pretty frequently. I've been called mean. You name it, I get called it.
Mean?
But, oh, sure. Oh, sure. Well, why are you so mean to Bob? Just sit. I've been real patient with Bob lately. Now I'm just letting Bob just take all the rope he needs to hang himself.
You're the nicest man I know.
You must know some awful people. But if I'm having somebody come to my house for the first time, that is as clean as my house is probably going to be for a long time, because I want them, first of all, to feel comfortable. I can't feel comfortable if somebody's house is disgusting, and I don't want someone to think, oh, I went to Sherman's house and it was gross. I don't want that. Like, that's the least that I could possibly do. Like, that's respect, obviously, for myself, how I live. But then also, if I'm showing you my home, like, I might get down to clean the baseboards. You know what I mean? Because some of y'all find dust everywhere, and it also depends on who's coming over. Some of y'all, I don't care. But I'm never going to have a sloppy, disgusting house. But I've also realized that those people that might throw trash on the ground just have a total disregard for a particular type of cleanliness. You also have to worry about, like, their personal hygiene, so that's a whole nother conversation we should have at some point. But it seems that how someone lives, their home, because you know the people that will invite you into their home, and there's dishes in the sink. The bathroom, not the bathroom. You got to clean the bathroom. Bathroom in the kitchen, got to keep it clean. Bedroom, that's okay, because you can just close the bedroom door. Because sometimes I got clothes on the floor. I'll take care of that later. But, you know, bathroom got to be clean. Kitchen has to be clean. Common areas got to be clean. Living room is relatively picked up. I vacuum the floors. I got a little hardwood floors, but I got some carpet. I keep all that stuff done. Because you never know who might come over. You understand it? But people who live in complete and total filth, that are okay with throwing trash on the ground when they're anywhere, doesn't matter where they're at, that's how they feel on the inside, I've come to realize. If your surroundings are full of just mess and garbage and chaos, a lot of times internally, their head is also very discombobulated. They're very disorganized mentally. You can tell a lot about a person, not just by how they live, but the space they invite you to. Because if I'm inviting you, or if somebody is inviting you, there's a time in which you are expected. Hey, everybody come on over Sunday at 4 o'clock. It's Wednesday right now. So if I'm inviting people over to my house Sunday at 4 o'clock, I got 4 whole days to clean the crib up. But then when people arrive and my house is a mess, that's probably reflective of just like how I feel on the inside. Now, I know I said a whole bunch, but I'm going to be connecting a bunch of things. I'm going to take a break when I come back. I'm going to talk about this community festival that took place at Brown Deer Park. And for all intents and purposes, at least according to the article, it was a successful festival. Let me do just a real quick side note on this, because this is frustrating to me, too. It's like now I'm starting to over-scrutinize everything that we're saying, everything that we're doing, the standards that we are putting out there in the world as adults, because the children are getting really, really bad examples because we are beside ourselves with the inappropriate behavior of our children. And I'm wondering where they're getting some of this stuff from. I know exactly where they're getting it from. I almost can't blame the kids because the adults are worse because the adults should know better. The standard for black people having a good event, I don't care who gets mad, is nobody got shot. It was a great event. Wait, what? There was no violence. This event was great. Have we descended that low? And I want to answer to this question. Have our standards as black people become so low that if nobody gets shot and there's no fights, that's the standard for a great event? Shouldn't a great event be like, somebody won a new car, several people had sex, and somebody found $900 in cash? Like, a great event should be, oh my God, we all got together and no one was murdered. We should do this again sometime. It's literally in the article, like, oh, there was no violence, but you left garbage everywhere. It's so bad, y'all. And I really wish somebody would challenge me on this, that our standard has gotten so low that if there is no violence, it's almost like, oh, what? No one? Not even a stab? No one? You, sir, when you mean to tell me ain't nobody even get stabbed? Wow. That's insane to me. There is an issue with MPS discipline. I'm going to wrap all this stuff together because I think it starts very small. And if people are throwing trash on the ground, it could be in front of their house. It could be at an event that they're having at Brown Deer Park. That is a basic lack of discipline. At the very least, it's not even about wanting to be neat, clean, and orderly. It's not even about wanting to leave a beautiful park, a green space that we all pay to maintain, leaving it exactly the way you found it. These people have zero discipline. And some of that is translating into the youth because we have harsher penalties and more suspensions and expulsions of black children because of this lack of discipline that these children exhibit. I'm wrapping all this stuff up. It's us. It's the adults. We're setting bad examples, and we're setting low standards. We don't have high academic standards. We have low standards for behavior. And even what makes a successful event is one in which no one was killed or there was no fighting. We are so much better than this. We're going to discuss it today. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
A Milwaukee community festival, it says. It's created to bring people together. It's facing criticism after volunteers say they spent hours cleaning trash and debris from Brown Deer Park the following day. So I am going to propose, because I'm sick of just complaining about stuff and not proposing any solutions. We need a resolution. That's the song that I play to get. See what I did there? I'm very witty. This has a very simple fix. Now I'm going to get into the details of the story, but if you reserve a picnic area at any Milwaukee County park. And I'm speaking from Milwaukee County because I don't really care about Waukesha County. They can handle Waukesha things, and Washington County can handle Washington County things. I also know that I'm not reading stories in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about parks in Waukesha County or Washington County or Ozaukee County where there's a whole bunch of trash that's left after the white people have a 4th of July festival. So I'm going to talk about Milwaukee County, if that's okay with the court. If it pleases the court. Because somebody has to get the permit. You have to pay for the permit. I think you even need like a separate alcohol permit if you want to have drinking. At least that's how it used to be. You'd buy a permit and then you pay this fee and it allows you to rent areas, picnic areas in Milwaukee County parks. But then once you have the liquor permit, you can bring beer and wine, whatever the case may be. But either way, somebody's got to be responsible for that permit. Somebody signs off on it. Somebody says, oh, no, this is my event. I'll pay the fee. I'll sign the permit. If trash is left behind, the person who signed the permit, the person who's saying, oh, no, I'm responsible. This is my event. And if they leave trash, oh, we'll clean the trash up, but you're going to pay for it. If it costs, I don't know, you pay 10 people $20 an hour, that's $200 per hour, 10 people making 20 bucks an hour, and it takes them 10 hours to clean up, you're going to get a bill for $2,000. That'll get your mind right. Or we will suspend your park permit privileges until you pay that $2,000. Oh, you don't want to pay it? You don't want to pay because I don't know if you can write a citation for that, but how about this? We'll find out where you live. We'll put it on your property taxes. So you can have an event at a park, but if you don't clean it up, it's going to get cleaned up, but you're going to pay for it. I think that that's a simple solution because it's so much easier to even bring your own trash receptacles, because one of the event organizers said they asked for additional like garbage, like bins, and they didn't get the bins, but they were provided with trash bags. That's good enough. And because you don't have actual bins, doesn't mean you just throw the garbage on the ground. It is so frustrating because this behavior is so low level, yet we as people and as a community want so much, we require so much, we ask for so much. We need more services and we need more resources. And I don't doubt that at all. But if we are exhibiting these kinds of behaviors, I can actually understand why somebody would say, screw those people. We're not giving them anything. No more resources, no more services. And these are adults. These are not children, because I looked at the pictures. These is grown folks. Some of them got more gray than me. And that's a lot of gray. I think I've gotten grayer doing radio. Be careful, Xavier. It'll gray you up pretty fast not dealing with these people that be calling and texting in and stuff.
You know, it's funny. I have a couple gray hairs that started popping up on top of my head.
That's all right. Embrace them. You earned them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being a silver fox.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm going to tell you what this summer has been. I'm going to write a book about this summer.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, sure.
It's been that legendary?
9.7 out of 10.
It's been a pretty good summer for me, too. Yep. Not as wild as last summer.
You can't have wild summers every summer. You know what I mean? You need a couple chilled out, laid back summers. Because then you appreciate the wild ones even more. Because if wild is your default, you know what I mean? Because then you got to go further and further and further and further and more extreme. And then next thing you know, you're in prison.
Yeah, you're true. That's true.
Now, one of the people behind the Friends and Family Fest is acknowledging organizers could have done better, while also saying they did not simply pack up and leave the mess behind. See, the event took place over the weekend in Brown Deer Park and was peaceful and successful, according to Family and Friends Fest organizers. Organizers stressed they spent months planning the Milwaukee County Parks and attained all the proper permits to conduct the event. Just a little side note on that. And do not get this Family and Friends Fest confused with Truth Family Fest, which will be taking place this Saturday at Riverside University High School. from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. And we're going to be there from 11 to 2 and we're going to be broadcasting and have all the vendors are going to be there and all the resource tables are going to be there. It's going to be many, many different things. Come on out. We're going to have some entertainment. Someone might be dancing. I don't know. Someone might be doing the inchworm and breakdancing. I don't know what's going to happen. You never know. But I promise you this. When Truth Family Fest is done at 2 o'clock, there will be nothing on the ground. There will be no potato chip bags. There will be no blunt wrappers and tobacco guts. There won't be any of that stuff left. It's very easy. Have a lot of respect or some respect or a modicum of respect for somebody else's space. Aren't we worried about getting judged? We need to start shaming people again. Shame used to be a real big thing. Oh, my God, who was here? Who had this party? It's disgusting. Oh, Johnny and Billy and Susie and Travis. Shame them. Reputation used to mean something. It really did. Are we living in a world where reputation means nothing? Don't you want to have a solid reputation? Do you want to be known for someone who is gross and disgusting and leaving squalor behind? Like, it's real simple stuff. Like, where did this stuff go? Am I just getting old? Because I look at the world and I just shake my head everywhere. You know, I just, why are people doing?
We're living in the late stages of capitalism.
Oh, here you go. The late stages. Late stage, early stage, mid stage. They ain't got nothing to do with somebody not finding a garbage can. I don't care if it's early stage socialism, communism, Taoism, religiousism. I don't care what it puts garbage in a garbage can. It's the simplest gesture. You know what I'll do sometimes? If there's no place to throw away any garbage, I just keep it in my pocket till I get home. Or I put it in the car. I got all sorts of little cubby holes in the Tesla. I was like, oh, I don't have anywhere to throw this away. I just put it in a cubby hole in a Tesla. And then I get home, and I open up my City of Milwaukee trash bin. I think somebody switched my trash bin with their trash bin. Because where I live, you put it on like by the sidewalk. Put it by the curb. Not in the street, but you put your garbage bin in, and the garbage men come mysteriously on whichever day they choose. And they come and get your garbage. And sometimes my bin is not exactly where I left it. It's like a house down sometimes, or it's in front of my neighbor's driveway. And I can tell that the bin is not my bin because my bin didn't smell bad. The bin that I have now is disgusting. Like somebody threw a body away in it. But
oh,
whatever.
They just switched it. They're like, ah, I don't like that smell.
I think, I don't, maybe they did. But you know you're supposed to clean your trash bins out, they say. I've never done that in 22 years because I don't have to because my garbage is neatly tied up in a big hefty bag. The event took place over the weekend in Brown Deer Park and was peaceful and successful, according to Family and Friends Fest organizers. Organizers stressed they spent months planning with the Milwaukee County Parks and attained all proper permits to conduct the event. Friends of Brown Deer Park, a volunteer group that regularly gives its time to clean and care for the park, posted photos showing trash, food, balloons, and other debris scattered throughout portions of the park after the third annual Family and Friends Fest. This morning, we encountered an absolutely disgusting mess left all over the hurling field and playground from a, quote, family event held here yesterday. This is from the Friends of Brown Deer Park. They put a social media post with these pictures that are just absolutely filthy. They left the damn balloons at the park. You got to take the balloons with you. Somebody took the time to blow up the balloons. The kids got to take the balloons with them. They left the damn balloons on the ground. The people who reserved these areas lied about the numbers who would be attending. Hundreds descended yesterday and left trash far worse than anything we've ever encountered. It took four of us a combined total of 11 hours to clean up, and the park staff were still carrying everything off after we left. The group made some attempt to bag the trash, some of the trash, but the entire area was littered with balloons, hot coals dumped in multiple places on the grass, metal and wooden stakes, plates, cups, most plastic cups smashed to create shards, utensils, liquor, beer bottles, cans, games, clothing, including soiled underwear, confetti, and more. They drove cars all over the field and through the playground, including the mulched areas under the equipment for children. An unbelievable amount of food was thrown all over. The final thing to note is how much unopened food, snacks, beverages, and party supplies were also left behind. This group must have plenty of money to throw away along with their trash. And they show these pictures. It is so embarrassing. What is this right here? What is this? What is this? Is that a whole propane tank? Okay. Why don't we do this? Take a break. Come back. Grab a telephone call on the other side. Somebody named Waukesha is calling. Oh, okay. Al from Sherman. That's odd that it says Waukesha. All right, we'll talk to Al from Sherman Park. Al from Sherman Park, I hope you keep Sherman Park clean, because Sherman Park is, it's not always spotless now, because if you have Sherman Park in your name, Al, you better be out there making sure it ain't no blunt rappers out there, Buster. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be back shortly.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Your body's beat by. We're talking about an event that took place last weekend, a friends and family fest that was at Brown Deer Park, and there was a tremendous amount of garbage, food, supplies, even unopened food, items of clothing, including soiled underwear, left at the park. And there's a group called Friends of Brown Deer Park that did go and clean up everything that was left behind, and they also posted pictures on their Friends of Brown Deer Park social media pages. And it's just, it's really, really embarrassing. And so via the YouTube chat, Marlena says suspending park permit privileges is not going to work because they'll just have someone else secure the park permit next time. Glad you brought that up, Marlena, because we need to think through this. And a county supervisor can put together an ordinance, and this joker will pass this county board. And I know the chairwoman, Marcelia Nicholson. Sorry, Marcy. She got married, too, so she's got another last name. I think Nicholson Bovell. She's just collecting last names. Shout out to Marcy, the chairwoman of the county board, who will be acting county executive if David Crowley gets elected governor. We'll talk about that another time. But I think that this ordinance would, because it makes sense. If you get a permit and you reserve a picnic area or park space at any Milwaukee County park, and if you leave trash, you're going to be responsible for cleaning it up day of, or you're going to get fined and we'll suspend your park permit privileges. But here's the thing. Suspend the event so you can get another person to get the permit, okay? You find another person. But the event will be suspended. Doesn't matter who gets the damn permit. You're going to have to call the event something different. And they probably wouldn't want to do that, because if it's called the third annual Friends and Family event, they probably want to call it that for the fourth and the fifth and the sixth annual. But if they have a track record of leaving trash behind, then you suspend the entire event. You got to wonder, what if they would have rented a space in Waukesha County or Washington County? How are the folks out there? I just don't want people thinking that you can disrespect Milwaukee, because we get enough disrespect as it is. We get disrespected because I think people are jealous of all the amenities here. I think that people are jealous because, you know, Milwaukee is a black city. It is. This is our city. I know it's hard for us to like conceptualize that and to internalize it, but it's our city. It is. We are the plurality race in this city, and I want it to be reflective of the best of who we are. That's an urban area, and that comes with a lot of problems, and we don't exactly have political disagreement with some of our more conservative counterparts in the Wisconsin State Legislature, but there are things that we can do to promote a better image of this city, because Milwaukee is a black city. And I know that we don't want to take responsibility for that, but I think that we should, because it could be something that we can be proud of. There's nothing stopping us from being a premier upper Midwestern town with a plurality of African Americans. We should have higher standards for everything, because this is our city. And as time goes on, it's going to be more and more our city. including taking responsibility for some of the problems, because we're going to get to a point. We can't blame white folks no more. Can't blame. They're gone. They're good. We're out of here. We're not dealing with it. Be three white people left in the city of Milwaukee. We're going to blame them for everything. Discipline disparities in NPS. Going to blame them for police brutality. People don't even want to be cops anymore in the city of Milwaukee. Pretty soon, we're going to run everybody away, and it's going to be us. We're going to find them three white people. We're going to blame them for everything. Separation, segregation, racism, slavery. And when the last three white people leave, who are we going to blame then? I guess we'll have to start blaming the light-skinned blacks. Xavier, you're on deck. Let's talk to Al from Sherman Park. Hi, Al from Sherman Park. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Sherman?
I don't know what you laughing at, buddy. Ain't nothing funny today, Jack.
Don't blame Xavier.
Not yet. Soon.
Hey, you got to be petty like me and paint your house numbers on your trash can. And then you see it down the street, you go grab it. That's how petty I am.
People sure do that. That's right. I always thought it was kind of tacky, but you call it petty. Fair enough.
No, I get tired of having to call the city to replace my carts because somebody else took mine because theirs is full, or the city didn't take theirs because they had the wrong materials in there. That irritates the heck out of me.
Are they free? So if I call for an additional trash bin, do I have to pay for it or they give it to me?
No, they're free, but it takes a while.
Okay.
It might be cartless for a week or so.
It takes a month for me to fill a trash bin anyway. So I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I don't feel a lot. Mm. Yeah, I kind of feel your pain there. Now, we had a couple of events in the last year at the Brown Deer. What was it, the boathouse? And then we had a birthday party at the golf clubhouse. But we always clean up, you know, especially when we had a family event. We're picking up our trash, cleaning up the tables, putting it in the garbage, and nobody leaves until that's all picked up. So I think it's a matter of pride and discipline. And one of the things I think that we're being sold in our community is that pride and discipline is a white thing. And I think it's nonsense, because when you hear stories about people complaining you can't wear bonnets and slippers and do-rags to class, that's not our culture. Our culture is not lack of discipline, but we've been told by others that our culture is lack of discipline and pride and civility. I reject those messages. I don't know. What's your thought on it?
I hope that we don't equate cleanliness and discipline with them, because they, in some cases, are filthier and less disciplined than us. It's just that they get away with it. So I really hope we don't think that being clean and cleaning up after yourself and having pride in space is something that's associated with them folks, because them folks are the wrong example. But I don't know. It could be. I do know when it comes to appearance, because I come from an era where it doesn't matter what you did, you left the house looking at least halfway decent, because you never knew who you were going to run into. And my parents used to tell me, because I used to go to the mall a lot, and I'd pick out any old clothes to wear to the mall because I didn't care. My parents were like, you ain't going to the mall looking like that. Somebody we know might see you, and they're going to think poorly of us. You ain't going to embarrass us. And I always made sure I had money in my pockets. My parents thought I was going to steal all the time. I don't know why that was. But, no, there's pride in appearance was always something that was held very, very high. And I look back at some of this old civil rights footage, Al, where our heroes and our ancestors knew that they were going to get beat and bludgeoned and sometimes even killed, but they still wore their Sunday best. You wouldn't catch a black woman out there in 1963 going across the Edmund Pettus with her hair in rollers. She got her hair done. She had her pearls on. She had on her heels, about to march to her death. We had so much pride in who we were. It seems like some of it is gone, and I say we bring it back.
And I don't know how we bring it back and instill it in the young people, because I think there is something that tells us, as long as we're rebellious, we're proud black folks. But sometimes rebellion is, we still need to have some pride in our rebellion. How about that? You can rebel and still have pride.
Fair
and
enough.
Civility and discipline. Okay. So anyway, the part that I don't get about trash is people throwing the diapers out in the street, and then the liquor bottles. What is that about? I'll go up every week and I'll find at least two or three liquor bottles thrown up on the sidewalk. Crown Royal, beer. I don't get it. Anyway, have a good day.
You too. Thank you very much. The other one is, I want y'all to be mindful of this, because the trash that you see is reflective of what is actually going on. So diapers, gross, right? Thank God I don't see those very often, because I'd have a fit. But baby wipes. You guys ever just see, like, little cloth baby wipes? You know what that is. That's prostitution. If there are baby wipes, but there's no diapers, that is a woman of the night cleaning herself between clients. And this, the prostitution is not what you think it is, where it's just, I mean, sometimes the hoes be on a stroll. There's a street. It used to be Lisbon. The hoes just be out there strolling. I think the hoes might still be out there early in the morning, late at night. Winter, spring, summer, fall.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Tastes good. No, it doesn't. Don't. You gotta be careful. But it'll just be a woman who'll just hop into a person's car, even on a side street. They're not always on main roads. And then they'll do their business, and then she'll clean up and just throw the baby wipe out on the... That's a biohazard, by the way. And whenever I see those, the profanity that comes out of my mouth, I was listening a little bit to the morning show, and they were talking about road rage. I have many different types of rages. I do have trash rage. I get angry. Like, why y'all throwing this stuff in my yard? What I ever do to y'all? I get up early in the morning. I try to talk to the black folks. I try to level set. I try to demystify politics. Oh, wait until I get to this story about what the Trump administration is doing to reverse disciplinary policy changes at MPS. I had to read this story 3 times. I feel silly because this other day I was like, oh, well, Trump's president. Nothing is different. Oh, it's about to change. You're about to see something exceptionally, exceptionally profound change in how black students are disciplined. This also leads us to our daily YouTube poll question. Are black students unfairly disciplined in schools? Because, you know, yesterday we had a conversation about probably some everything we had a conversation about yesterday, but how we should handle fighting when kids, you know, start these, I don't know, street takeovers and they fight because they fought at State Fair. Some of the things that you all suggested were overwhelmingly harsh, the worst of which, and this is common whenever I talk about, okay, if black teenagers are causing a disruption, first and foremost, we're going to hear hold the parents responsible. So give the parents a ticket, which I suppose in some cases is reasonable. But then people went as far as to say, oh, if they're on Section 8, take their housing. If they receive food assistance, take away their food stamps if their children are unruly and acting up in public. So the things, if you listen very carefully, the things that black people will say, if you ask us what the consequences should be when other black people are lacking discipline and when their children are misbehaving and fighting and ruining public spaces for other people, what we say goes much further than even what a white racist would do. And if you have the conversation long enough, black people love the death penalty. Oh, we love it. But we also are on intimate terms with death. Death is our friend. Hell, I'm going to a funeral on Saturday. This be my third funeral I've been to in 8 months. So just people, just black folks die just on accident, on purpose, car accidents, heart attacks, you name it. I'm going to take a break, come back, talk to Phil on the other side. I see you, Phil. We're going to get to you in just a second. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back shortly.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Reginald says, put the fire hoses on those disruptors. We went out to dinner for my brother's birthday on Sunday. He wanted to go to Olive Garden. I'm like, cool. He said, Sherwin, if I had the chance to do it all over again, start over, he's like, I'd be a revolutionary. I'm like, bro, what is you revolting against, G? Parents bought you a damn near new car when you turned 16. You grew up in Brown Deer and you got a college degree. Like, what? It's fine. Don't worry about it. Let's talk to Phil. Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing, Sherwin?
I'm doing all right. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, about that garbage cart thing. I learned this when I was, I had some rentals, and you get one garbage cart per single family house. A duplex, you get two, and you also the same for recycle. Now, if you order an extra cart, you have to let them know that your other cart is missing or broken. Because if you look at your water bill and you got an extra cart, it's in little bitty writing. They charge you for that extra cart each water period. So every 3 months, you're paying for that extra cart. So you got to make sure that you get rid of the old one. And like the other gentleman said, I mark mine with like a paint color because they'll take it down the alley somewhere, and then they'll use yours, and then you end up with none or you end up with a broken one. But that's what I wanted to let you know.
Thank you, Phil. Useful information, so maybe I will spray paint. Sherwin's cart, you N-words. No, don't say that. Milwaukee Community Festival, created to bring people together, is facing criticism after volunteers say they spent hours cleaning trash and debris from Brown Deer Park the following day. Now, one of the people behind Family and Friends Fest is acknowledging organizers could have done better while also saying they did not simply pack up and leave the mess behind. I got a problem with that because that's zero accountability and responsibility for the garbage that they absolutely left, because there are pictures there. It's been photographed. It's been documented. It's like, oh, yeah, we could have did a better job. You know, it was getting late. It got dark. People started going home. Nobody wanted to clean up. Like, take responsibility for it. And this is a whole different conversation. Now one of the people behind Friends and Family Fest is acknowledging organizers could have done better. Like, are you serious? Done better? Like, oh, yeah, we should have cleaned it up. And as the event organizer, because if your name is on the event, because, like, now I'm going to associate this event with just, oh, they're going to leave garbage behind. Let's see if we can squeeze Curtis in before we take a break. Curtis, you're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Hey, good morning. So I work for the city. And you are allowed two garbage carts per unit, and you can have unlimited recycling. If you can order as many as you want, no charge.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Curtis. We got all sorts of information going on about the garbage carts. We appreciate you clearing it up for us.
Hey, can I say one thing?
Yes.
For everyone listening, please do not put propane tanks or any combustible tanks in the garbage. I was blown up a couple of weeks ago, and I would like you guys to at least not put that stuff in there. Thank you.
Curtis, did somebody record that? I think I saw footage of you getting blown up.
Yeah, it was everywhere, dude. Everywhere.
Curtis, and it sounds like you're back to work right now. You on a garbage truck right now?
I absolutely am.
All right, Curtis, you be careful out there now.
Oh, yes. I'll check everything now. I just wanted to share that information with everybody. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Curtis. Yo, Curtis got blew up. Like, I saw the footage. It exploded. And Curtis, is he on the truck today? He was like, you can't stop me with one blow up.
Yeah, we played that footage on the morning show.
Did you really?
Yep. I saw him get blown up.
Y'all ain't even right. Why y'all try to blow up Curtis? Curtis is nice. Curtis out here picking up y'all's garbage. Y'all try to kill Curtis with a propane tank. Don't you have to return a propane tank? Because isn't there a deposit? You can't keep a propane tank. What is happening? Curtis is like, I'm going back to work. I'm risking life and limb. Listen, shout out to sanitation workers, because if it was not for them, So when the garbage sanitation workers went on strike in Memphis, like, that was an effective kind of boycott, because you let Milwaukee go without sanitation workers for 1 month, it'll be rat rodent city. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour two.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.